all know about the Underground Railroad, right? Well, if you don't, I'll tell you a brief description. The Underground Railroad is when slaves escape to Canada, walking or riding in carriages, going from place to place with some help from people who wanted to stop slavery. My name is Amaya, by the way, and I will be telling you some interesting facts about some plantations, museums, and estates that were involved on the Underground Railroad. There will be instructions to these places: the Destrehan Plantation, the Bevier Estate, the Gainswood Plantation, the Bellymead Plantation, and the Buxton Museum. Now, we will begin our journey. I'm going to tell you some interesting facts about the people who lived at the Destrehan Plantation, some historical facts about it, where it was located, why the people made decisions to own slaves or help them, and when all of that happened at the Destrehan Plantation. During the 19th century, the Destrehan Plantation was a major producer of indigo and sugarcane. This home was most commonly associated with its second owner, Jean Noel Destrehan, who served as the first United States Senator from Louisiana in 1812. One of the oldest homes in Louisiana was the Destrehan Plantation. It was constructed in the beginning of 1787 and was completed in 1790. During the period of Spanish rule, Robert Anthony Robin de Longy contracted with Charles Paquette, a carpenter, to build a raised house in the West Indies without buildings to support his indigo plantation. Paquette was given the use of 6 slaves to construct the home. The Destrehan Plantation is located at 29 degrees north and 90 degrees west. This plantation did not help slaves. It was one of the first plantations on the map, though. Perry Adolphe Rost chose to own slaves because he had lots of land and he grew wheat and cotton, so he made slaves picket. All of these activities were happening from 1720 through 1865, and the plantation is still standing today. The Destrehan Plantation to the Bevier Estate. First, turn left onto Armard Road, then turn right onto Airline Highway. Take an exit to 1A, take exit to 38 onto MS-605. Then turn right onto Lauren Road, then turn left onto US 90. Turn left onto Brady Drive, then turn left and you reach your destination. The Bevier Estate. Now I'm going to tell you some interesting facts about the people who lived at the Bevier Estate, some historical facts about it, where it was located, and why the people made the decisions to own or help slaves, and when all of that happened. The Bevier Estate was purchased in 1873 by a person named Samuel Dorsey and his wife, Sarah Dorsey, but he died in 1876. In 1876, Sarah Ellis remade her will and left her whole estate, including the Bevier, to Jefferson Davis, making his youngest daughter, Verena Annie Davis, inheriting at her father died. Bevier was built by James Brown, a planter, in 1848 and was complete in 1852. In 1873, the property was sold to Frank Johnson and soon, therefore, to Samuel and Sarah Ellis Dorsey. They operated the plantation to cultivate cotton. This site was located in Biloxi, Mississippi, 30 degrees north and 88 degrees west. The Bevier Estate was not a safe house on the Underground Railroad. Sarah Ellis, she made the decisions that she did because after her husband's death, she couldn't take care of the plantation. So she moved to New York and gave her former president, Jefferson Davis, her home. The plantation has been standing from 1766 through 2020 and is still standing today. The Bevier Estate is to Gainswood Plantation. First, turn right onto Beach Road, then turn right onto Cone Road, take an exit onto 73, U.S. 82, turn left onto McFarland Road, turn left onto Rice Main Road, then turn left onto the Gainswood Plantation Drive. Turn right onto Gainswood Lane, and you have arrived. The Gainswood Plantation. Now I'm going to tell you some interesting facts about the people who lived at the Gainswood Plantation. Some historical facts about it, where it was located, why the people made the decisions that they did to own slaves, and when that all happened at the Gainswood Plantation. Whitefield was a cotton planter who moved from North Carolina to Marigona Country, Alabama, in 1834. When Gainswood was serving as the U.S. Indian agent, he met with a famous person named Chef Pashamonta under an old oak tree that became the Gainswood Estate. Whitefield directed the digging of a drainage canal in 1845 and 1863 and stopped water from flooding his plantation. He made the slaves dig it by hand. It rained on a large section of the Gainswood Estate, and water had to flow a 7-mile course to reach the Tombigbee River. The Gainswood Plantation is located at 32 North, 87 West, 805 Cedar Avenue, Dumfries, Alabama. This plantation was not a safe house on the Underground Railroad. In fact, this plantation owned slaves because Mr. Whitefield had cotton and wheat farm. Mr. Whitefield made these decisions because he needed slaves to pick his wheat and cotton and stop the flood. This plantation was worked at from 1843 through 1973, but the building is still standing today. Gainswood Plantation to Belly Made Plantation. Turn left onto Gainswood Drive, turn right onto Rice Main Road, then turn left onto AL 291. Next, turn right onto Jack Warner Road, then turn left onto 25th Avenue, then turn left onto University Road, take an exit onto 124C on the left, take exit 80, then take exit onto US 70, then turn left onto Gardner Drive, turn left to Belly Maid, the Belly Maid Plantation. Now I'm going to tell you some interesting facts about the people who lived in the Belly Maid Plantation, some historical facts about it, where it was located, why the people made the decisions to own or help slaves, and when all of that happened. John Harding bought a cabin and 250 arcs near Natchez Trace. He began to clear and develop it with his slaves' labor. They also built their own slave quarters, which were documented as two family cabins. His son, William Gills Harding, took over operating the plantation in 1839 as his father was making a cotton plantation in Arkansas. Harding began to acquire more land for breeding and raising livestock. First, he got thoroughbred horses and adding cattle, sheep, and other breeds. Other buildings were added later by William Harding and his Harding Jackson descendants, a tiny 1870s children playhouse that was used by the Harding children, and the 1884 diary that supplied fresh milk, cream cheese, and made up to 240 pounds of butter each week. This plantation is located at 5025 Harding Pike, Belly Maid, Tennessee. The coordinates are 36 north, 86 degrees west. This was not a safe house along the Underground Railroad. In fact, it owned multiple slaves to pick cotton, wheat, take care of the animals, and harvest. Why John Harding and William Gills made the decisions that they did was because they needed slaves to build his house and their slave quarters, to pick and harvest crops, to take care of the animals, and to take care of him. The Millie Maid Plantation was built in 1790 and is still here today. Billy Maid to the Buxton Museum. Turn right onto Harding Pike. Take exit 28B on the left. Take exit 131A. Take exit 23A. Then take exit 47B. Continue onto Ambassador BRG. Continue onto Herring Church Road. Take exit 63 onto Country Road 2. Turn right onto Queens Lane. Turn right onto Maryland Road. Turn left onto 8th Line. Turn right onto Shad Road. Then the destination is on your left. An 8-hour and 51-minute drive. Buxton Museum. This is the last plantation I'm going to tell you about. I'm going to tell you some interesting facts about it, the people who lived at the Buxton Museum, some historical facts about it, where it was located, why the people made the decisions that they did to help slaves, and when all of that happened all at the Buxton Museum. The North Buxton community was established in 1849 by Rev. William King, American abolitionist. He immigrated from Scotland to the United States as a young man. He also worked as a teacher and tutor in the planters' families for years in Louisiana. He married a woman that was part of a planter family. After King's wife died, he inherited her estate, including 15 slaves. He allowed the slaves to keep fees earned after being hired out. After becoming a minister in a ministry in Canada, King decided to free his slaves and relocate them to a free country. In the years before the Civil War, refugee slaves usually reached Canada on the Underground Railroad from the United States. Thousands have been settling in Ontario in the Buxton Museum. The Buxton Museum is located at 42 degrees north, 82 degrees west, Canada, Ontario. This plantation was a safe house on the Underground Railroad. If they were there, they were free because the Buxton Museum is located in Canada where slavery was not allowed. Why Rev. William King decided to risk his life to free his slaves was because he did not like slavery that much, and he would rather have risked his life to save them than let them live in misery. These events were established in 1838 through 1863. The Destrehan Plantation to the Bevier Estate. This drive takes about 1 hour and 38 minutes to get from the Destrehan Plantation to the Bevier Estate. You will want to go about halfway to the Gainswood Plantation and stay at the nearest hotel. Your drive for the day will take about 3 hours and 50 minutes, 104 miles. The Bevier Estate to the Gainswood Plantation. This drive from the Bevier Estate to the Gainswood Plantation will take about 1 hour and 30 minutes. I suggest you go to the Billy Maid Plantation after that, which takes 3 hours and 41 minutes, and stay at the nearest hotel. The drive for the day will take about 5 hours and 10 minutes,